think the beginning photographers that I've seen their work, they have their work posted up in ViewBug, things like that. That's the one thing that I would say to work on is creating those layers, creating depth. And again, that also helps with lighting. Like, where's your light fall? So you got a lot of intense light here, intense light on the edge here, and then it kind of tapers off to like some lighting here. Like, it starts to get a little bit less intense with your lighting, right? And then back here, it completely falls off. There's just no light. Well, not no light, but there's a lot less light back here. So it's pretty dim lighting where you can see just enough of that stem. And then there's that petal back here where it's just enough. So it's like, that's, it's like you use different things to create layers. Because I started my journey trying to paint, and I like to layer the paint. You just have paint one on top of the other, just having a bunch of paint. And then when you put the canvas on the wall, the paint's coming out at you because you've got layers and layers on it, on the canvas. With photography, it's not going to jump out at you because you can't layer it, right? Unless you put something like fabric or you incorporate something else like that on it, which I've seen artists do before. But for me, I try to go inward, like I said, and giving a sense of the viewer feeling like they can jump into the photograph, you know. Oh, and thank you for the comment, Tom. For me, yeah, lighting overall, for sure. And thank you for the comment. Lighting is our friend. It is our friend. But again, it's like you really understand what your style is. So I would say try everything. Because some artists, photographers, fine art photographers, that's their style, is just their work is more flat. And then they work with a lot more with color than I do. For me, I came in to this liking cinematography, right? I would watch all the old movies, the film noir, everything was just this harsh, contrasty lighting and everything. And so that started working its way into my photography. Is that friend and enemy? As far as lighting to outside, is a challenge. It's great, but it's definitely a challenge because of how the light shifts suddenly. In studio, it's a challenge because I don't have strobes. And so the light, a lot of times, like last night too, was too dim. And so that's why this time today I threw up another studio light. But my lights are continuous. And so trying to make sure my shutter speed is fast enough that I don't get that motion blur or the soft focus. But yeah, I just wanted more subtle, the lighting to be more subtle, for sure. But yeah, my eye doesn't fall anywhere here. It's just like I'm looking at blah. So I'm like, okay, that doesn't work. This one is a little better. And then I think with this shot, I started noticing my edges on this. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So that's what I started to focus on, is how can I play these edges of the flower up, but still not have it look like just somebody threw color onto the photograph. So yeah, I'm trying to play on that shape. This is a little better, but the only thing that's in focus is this line right here, which is intentional, but the rest of the photograph doesn't have enough in it. And I looked at these before I started shooting today. And I think I did a little bit better job at that. This looks like a bowl. This is closer. But at this point, my initial concept that I have, that I had coming into this week, I finished capturing those. Now it's more like, let me see what happens if I do this, do that, do this, do that. So yeah, I do like the cinematography. It's really nice. So all of that, man, the lighting is really what I'm focused on, but it's tough because I took the diffuser off the light box. It was way too much light. And then put the diffuser back on and my shutter speed was too slow. So I'm getting all this soft focus and I was getting really annoyed, but I didn't want to kick up my ISO because I think I was at 400 at this point. Yeah. My ISO was already up at 400, which I don't want to get that high because ISO 400 above, you're going to have a bunch of film grain. You get more color aberrations, so I'm trying to stay away from that. But my continuous bulbs are only 40 watts, which I do like, but in certain situations, it can just make it difficult for me to handheld the camera or hold the camera with my hand off the tripod and get enough light in the shot, especially shooting macro. So actually today I had more patience with it, but yesterday I was just getting, I was getting frustrated with it. That's a little bit off. I think out of them, I like this, but the focal point's not there. It's round about here. I think it should probably be on this very edge. Yeah, so I gotta move that. Cause see, focal point here and here on that plane, that's where it is. So everything in front and behind is out of focus. So I gotta move it up probably like a half an inch, if that, so that I catch this edge right here. And I think the lighting is gonna hit this really nice. Yeah, there it is. But see, I moved too much. Yeah, so I adjusted my focus manually, but then I moved my composition over to the right. So now compositionally it's off, but this focal point's better. Yep. So I'm probably going to have to come back this way and have both edges go off the frame, but then have that sharp edge right there. And that's a little challenging to get because I recognized yesterday, sometimes I had to use a 2-second timer because me clicking the shutter, I would move the focal point, and that's how shallow the depth of field is. So I'm working within the depth of field is like that wide as far as depth, which is not a lot of space. So it can be off by just a bit, and it just throws everything off. Which is why I love macro photography, how I shoot it, and then why it just gets under my skin. But I think this one's okay. But again, it doesn't fall on that grid line for the third. So it looks like it's over to the left a bit too much. But this is where my eye goes first. I don't mind how you got the gradations over here. I'm probably gonna have to put another light over here on this side because this looks very gray. Or let me see where my aperture was. At a 5.6, yeah, I can't open it up anymore. For sure, I can't do that. Okay. I like the composition. I don't know if this is in focus. It looks like it is. It should be. I'm gonna try that. I like the swirl. That right there is really nice. I think darken this area here, but these little parts where it's highlighted, I really have to play that up. And hopefully it's not too grainy in here. Because when it's that dark and I've got my ISO at 400, you kick the brightness up too much or the exposure up too much, it's going to get really grainy. So I think tomorrow I'm going to try to probably put two lights on this and try this shot again. And then at least get my ISO down to 200, if not 150, to take away the chance of having that color aberration and that grain start to show. Because once you get that grain in there, man, it's hard to get it out. You can go noise reduction, but sometimes it looks unnatural. What was I doing here? I was just trying something. I like it. As far as compass, like this is not a big shift, but like this is better than this one. So that intersection I was talking about before, it should be right in here. Which means that when I go here, that puts it at that third intersection, the rule of thirds intersection. I love this part at the bottom. That is really nice. I'm only nervous about what this looks like in here, because I'm going to have to kick up the exposure. Now, you can do that, well... No, I wouldn't use the exposure level. I would probably use the dodge tool in Photoshop just to lighten this part out, like in here. Because if I start brightening this out here, it's just going to explode. It's going to be too bright. So, yeah, dodge and burn. Maybe mask this off, darken this back here, because this can't stay there like that. That's got to go. But yeah, I like the composition. I like this. And like I was saying about one of the shots earlier, this is way more contemporary than I was going for, but this is what caught my attention. Huh. But yeah, the acrylic, as long as you're not, of course, seeing your own reflection in it, it's really helpful. You get really interesting compositions with this. The other thing with strobes too, like I use, you see the continuous, this is my light box, well, one of the light boxes here. If your breakers are not up to task, you'll blow your breaker boxes out with your strobes because they're chewing up so much wattage as far as wattage. So like I said, I use the daylight temperature 40 watt lights. They're continuous. They look like, they're not hard to find, right? They don't chew up a bunch of electricity. So I can work in here for hours with 2-3 of them, you know, and not worry about blowing the breaker box out. So, I mean, that's the other thing. But downside is, more times than not, you still have to slow your, I have to slow my shutter speed down. Aperture has to be wider. ISO sometimes goes up. But I try to cap it at 400, like I said. So that's the downside of it. But, I mean, I've been using them for years now, so it really hasn't stopped me from capturing anything I want. Is I will say that the strobes are, I would say they're more crisp with their lighting, especially if you're shooting for magazines, like brands, like commercial brands. The strobes are just, they're faster. Everything's faster. Now, let me see if I can bring up the difference here. I've only used strobes when I was taking my photography classes. Everything else on the website, it's all these continuous lights that I have. So, like I said, I've been working with them for years. But this project, yeah, this series is strobes. You see how it's just stark lighting. It's crazy. This is my most popular shot from the series. And granted, I captured this back in 2009. So like I said, I've been doing this for a while. Haven't really worked with strobes since, but you see how sharp, how crisp everything is. The continuous lights, it's less a softer fall off with the lighting. The strobes, everything is like boom, you get hit with this burst of light and you either overexpose or you underexpose pretty easily. So yeah, and then we had the measurements tools and everything for the lighting and stuff like that. But for me, I just go by feel, like what I want the lighting to look like in the shot. But yeah, everything's really sharp, really crisp. You know, but again, your strobe box is huge. You got cables going everywhere. You're probably shooting, you know, off of the Wi-Fi signal. But yes, it's crazy. I would definitely not shoot in this particular room for that. I would probably rent a studio or something like that just to get a gauge on how much power I'm pulling. But for sure, the strobes are nice. They're really nice. But yeah, and I just had, it's the same softbox, really. It's just the light that you use inside is strobe, right? And it's connected. And the technology's probably gotten a lot better since I've used them. As far as having everything wireless so that you don't have all these cables running all over the place. But yeah, so I figure when I upgrade more stuff, I will, and I'll definitely have to get out of this space. I would like to use strobe some more. Yeah, this is way too plain. It's like I need something that's gonna, I would say personify an emotion, you know, get something out of the viewer. Like when you look at something, it's like, oh wow, you know what I mean? Something that really makes me get up out of my seat and say, oh, I want to see that, you know? So again, lighting is really good for that, and the continuous lights are fine. It's just that you have to understand what lighting makes the subject look great, and then what lighting looks more flat, right? Because it's just flat. The highlights are not jumping, the shadows are kind of, and then everything's just mid-tone. So you really don't have a lot of depth. Now, even with something this flat, you can create depth. But if everything's on the same plane, as far as your highlights, your shadows, your midtones, then everything's gonna look like it's in midtones and it looks blah to me, right? We want drama. That's what we want drama. So for example, it's like there's a difference between this that looks flat and this in here. That's that drama part of it. Because you got really dark here, bright, and then there's the midtones. And it's all in that same little area. But it gives it that depth. So you have stuff jumping out at you, and then you got the middle ground, and then you got the shadows that fall into the background. So again, there's those three layers, even though this is really flat. You know, there's enough curvature in it that you get that separation. I see where I was going with this. Execution, not that. I'm trying to figure out how I can do this though, because yes, I want the lines cutting through, right? I think the problem with this is it's on the center line again. It's either got to be up here or here, but if your focal point is too much dead center, whether it's horizontal, whether it's vertical, if too much of it is on the dead center line, it just looks off to me. I don't know if I can fix that. That's a little better. Okay, so you see how this is pretty much on the center, but it's like you don't just look at the dead center line. You have enough coming into it, and it's on a slant. It's on a diagonal. So it doesn't look just like a straight line sitting there in the middle of the photograph. So it's like, okay, that's better. Now, is it great? I don't know if I can tweak this. Well, my initial instinct, kick up the highlights, which isn't going to kick up all the brightness, but this is going to come out. This line is probably going to come up. I would deepen the shadows because in here it's kind of a off black, like a gray, muddy type thing. I would probably play around with the color temperature. See if I can kind of get rid of that. Yeah, but it's like a mucky gray, which we're definitely not gonna go for. That's closer. No, that's off. Now see, and I only moved the camera a little bit. That's better. This is an absolute And I only moved the camera that much. Because now what I'm looking at is that dead center line in the middle of the photograph, and it's like I don't like that at all. What about this one? That one's better. This line is still too centered. I love the background, this part back here, but where this falls and how the angle. Gosh, now I'm thinking that I'm gonna have to bend this more this way. like this line has to come up here, but then I'm afraid that I'm going to be on the center line too much. There's got to be a middle ground that I can find. I like the background though. So I see what I'm trying to capture, but it's like, okay, what can I tweak on this to make this better? Because it's not quite there yet. All right, that's too dark. I think this is the closest that I've seen as far as the portrait layout. Because see how far off this is on the center? And then it just goes to black up there. That really helps that just negative space. You still get a little bit of this and then a little bit of that background, even though it's dim. That's an easy kick up of the highlights right there. Now, if you want to, like, if you use, let me go ahead and try this. There's different ways that you can do this, right? So for me, I like Camera Raw. I know a lot of photographers like Lightroom, but I'm not crazy about Lightroom at all. I just use Lightroom if I'm stuck, because there are so many presets in Lightroom. I can sit there for hours going through presets, but the presets give me ideas that I'm just not getting. And so I'm like, okay, I have the good composition. There's something here, but I don't know how to get it out of the photograph. So I would go to Lightroom and just start going through preset after preset after preset, save your favorites, try it on there, and you will end up with something. Then I would take it out of Lightroom, bring it back into Photoshop Camera Raw, and really start tweaking the preset so that it doesn't look like I just copy-pasted a preset onto my work. I don't like doing that. But it definitely can be a good starting point if you're stuck. Like, you have something good, but it's like your normal tweaks to the photograph is just not doing it. It's not working. Not working. So I would use Lightroom for that. Other than that, even for organizing my photography, I don't like using Lightroom, because you really have to be, your folders have to be connected to Lightroom for everything to open correctly, all the files to open correctly. And I change names, I move stuff, and then if you move stuff, it breaks the link to Lightroom, and then you got to relink everything, and it's just, I don't want to go through that. So anyway, Camera Raw, I do all my basic stuff here as far as editing, and gosh, if I need to do something like radical, or if I want to dodge and burn instead, then of course I take it into Photoshop. The healing tool, Camera Raw does have the spot healing tool here. It doesn't work as good as it does in Photoshop, but if you just have spots on your camera sensor, dust particles on your camera sensor, whatever, this will be fine for that. But if your camera sensor is really dirty and you didn't air blow it out your camera, then yeah, I would definitely say Photoshop for sure, to take out all those little dust particles and everything off your camera sensor or out of the photograph. But the main difference is, for example, it's too dim, right? These adjustments, like exposure, they brighten everything or they darken everything. They just blanket change to everything, right? It doesn't do it to a certain spot, right? The exposure doesn't. Now, they do break it into parts. Like, this is just for your highlights, and that's all it affects is your highlights for the most part. And that gradually changes your midtones, has some effect on your shadows, but it doesn't look like you just kicked up the brightness and everything got brighter, right? So I would try that out first. Now for me, If it's underexposed, the first thing I do is I mess with the whites and see what that does. And there's your whites, which they do bring in your highlights for the most part. But your highlights are on a different channel. So there's that. Of course, your blacks. And that's gray. We don't want to do that. Your shadows, which are really the same thing, but you notice when I come down with the shadows, it doesn't give you that really deep black color all over, right? It just goes to the shadows in the image and it changes those. So there's that. I only use shadows if I'm tweaking something, right? And if I want like the, if I cut the blacks down, but then I'm losing too much detail in the shadows, I'll start lifting the shadows up. And that helps, right? Because again, I go from extreme black somewhere in the image to extreme white, which is in the highlights. And then you have everything in the middle, which is your midtones, right? So it's basically you come in and you just start separating everything. But again, the only problem with that is it does it just everywhere. And I don't know, the color, the texture in here just looks weird. Here's your texture. It sharpens it up a little bit. I used to use clarity a lot, especially like 6-7 years ago, I used to use clarity a lot. Now I really don't use it because it's too harsh. It's really harsh. Sharpens up everything. Everything's more contrast. It's like too, way too harsh. It's like, okay, you got to soften up a little bit. If you go the other way, it starts to gray everything out. It softens it up, but it's kind of got a gray to it. I'm like, I don't want to do that either. Dehaze is new to me, or newer than clarity. But yeah, intense color, and then all of a sudden, color starts dropping out. You know, it depends. Dehaze is good with the right subject, but with this particular subject, I'm like, no, that's not gonna work. Vibrant is how vibrant the color is or not. Saturation, you just got pure color, which is too much. So you can kick them up a little bit, but not like go crazy. But I take everything through extremes most of the time just to see what the photograph is going to do. Let me back up a little bit. I'm wondering now. These are the optics. Remove color aberration. I don't know about this one. This one's weird. There's your grain. Calibration, I haven't learned this part of it yet. Same thing with the color mixer. But this is hue, saturation, luminosity, which I don't mess with too much. Denoise is pretty new. Manual noise reduction. Okay. Yeah, there was a recent update to the software, so I'm like, they they tweaked the user interface a little bit. Okay. So this would smooth it out. Yeah. So instead of it being so grainy, it smooths it out some. Oh, I had to think about this one. But point being, with dodging and burning, your dodge is for your highlights, your burn is for your shadows. But dodging, I would just brush the highlight on here, probably here, and just brush that up there. Maybe bring this out a little bit, but you can increase the highlights or the shadows or bring out the midtones in spots. Like, you just pick where you want those changes to be. But if you use a dial like this, it just blankets everything. Especially if you don't, otherwise you would have to mask it off, and I don't mask in Camera Raw. But yeah. And then once I'm finished, I would come here and there's the Adobe RGB 16-bit channel. As long as it's in Camera Raw, you don't have to enlarge the file in Photoshop. You just resize to fit. You can kick this up to, for me, I kick it all the way up to 60 inches on the longest side. So it's like a 40 by 60 print, which is ridiculously large. But if you want to keep it at the native size, then for my camera, it's basically a 12 by 18 print at the native size. And of course, open this up as a smart object, because if you decide to enlarge it in Photoshop instead, when you do enlarge it to a 40 by 60, you're not going to get the pixelation. It's going to get pixelated like crazy if you don't. So yeah, it's going to keep the raw file information and distribute the pixels out without the compression, or without the pixelation. So definitely keep the file as a smart object, because this really is not a photograph. It's like the film of the camera before you develop it. So this is a CR2 file. And then to turn it into an image that you can upload to a computer and everything, you can turn it into a JPEG, a PNG, a TIFF. You got several different options. I think it's like JPEG 2000, if that's still around. But for printing, TIFFs are good. JPEGs are also useful. PNGs, I don't think they have a compression, but sometimes I notice a color shift with the PNG files. So you have to be careful with that. But yeah, I'm gonna have to come back to this one, because I think I'm gonna have to nuance this for sure with just bringing out highlights, deepening shadows, doing something with the color. The other thing too is, here's your profile. Let's see, color profile. Standard. Vivid. Okay, so what's the difference between Adobe Vivid and Adobe Color, which is the default? Yeah, the Vivid kicked up the color quite a bit. It's just more vibrant. It's got more punch to it. I like that. And of course, you got monochrome, which is black and white, and that just completely takes the color out of it, which is not great. Now this, I believe, is the presets. There's a bunch. There's a bunch. And you can bring the presets from Lightroom into Camera Raw, into Photoshop, I believe, but this is where I keep all of mine. And there's, you go to the Discovery tab in Lightroom. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. You can be in there for hours. Just going through everything. So. But yeah, this initial step is looking at compositions and looking at what I think would be worth my time of editing it, because you always want to not spend 7-8 hours at the computer editing a whole bunch of photos. I got burnt out from it. So especially if you want to make photography your career, I'm just like, cut down the editing as much as possible and how much you're just staring at the computer screen going through all this stuff. And because it's digital for me, there's so many different ways that you can edit, and then you can get into compositing and all this other type of stuff. It's crazy. So yeah, I definitely cut that down. Now, once I get my batch of photographs that I think have, you know, potential, spend as much time on it as you want to, right? But I'm just saying, like, overall, if you download your files, you got 500-700 photographs. You know, don't go through, you know, cut it down, keep trim it down until you get your handful that are really good. And that definitely works for sure. Man, these are close. Because again, I like the edge. I like what I'm trying to do, but like the composition is off. This feels like this faded background, blurry. It feels like it's supposed to be over here instead of here. So I do like this. There's my focal point right here, which probably looks a little like it's a little bit tough to see because the shadow falls on it. But I'm probably like this. I would put a line right here and cut everything off going that way. So all this going that way, definitely crop that off. So turn it into a box, 40 by 40 even box, and that might work. The only thing I'm a little nervous about is losing this part, because I like this part over here too. I don't know, so I might have to redo it. I'm wondering if I change the angle, right? So that this comes over here, and then I see this comes that way. I see a little bit more of the middle of the flower. I don't know if that's going to work or have the same feel to it, but that's worth a shot. I don't know if I like the green here. It's coming off more like a distraction. I'm wondering what the center of this flower looks like. I can just do a blanket brighten. No, that's on point. It's on point. But again, because it's so dark, look at all this right here. This is all noise. There's a little dot on my sensor. But if you go to the Band-Aid, here's a little Band-Aid tool. Bring this down. I don't need it that big. And you just click. And it's gone. There's a little dot here too. That's gone. That's not bad. So my camera sensor is not that dirty. That's a good thing. So that's good. Now, if your shot is originally that dark, underexposed, and you really want to brighten it like this, goodness, you're going to have to come to, is it detail? Yes, luminance. You got to kick that bad boy up. But see, that's the problem too, is that you still see those lines a little bit. So now it's cleans it up a little bit, but it still looks artificial. I don't want the image to look artificial. Yeah, it's a little. It helps, but yeah. So again, that's why you definitely, my ISO, I've got to get it above 400 if it's in lower lighting, right? If it's in lower lighting. If the lighting is fine or manageable, then 400 is fine for my camera. But if the lighting is low and your ISO's at 400 and you still have it underexposed, the image is underexposed, when you kick that light up, that noise is going to be there. It's definitely going to be there. It's just, and it's difficult because I can still see it, especially in this area. It's difficult to get rid of that for sure. So if you use exposure, try not to get too crazy with that exposure. You can try whites, see how that goes. You can try highlights. Yep, and that's way too bright over there in the corner. But see how I kicked the highlights up, and then this over here got entirely too bright. And that's because it does a blanket edit, which is why you want to use dodge and burn, because you don't even have to mask it in Photoshop. You just use dodge and you kick up the highlights, right? Specifically the highlights in the places that you want. And then the stem, the green, doesn't get blown up like this. So yeah, I was wondering about that though. I really was. But from this, yeah, I just think the green is, man. I don't know, it looks weird. Yeah, this one too. I can see where I was going, but composition is like, it's a little better. You know what, to be honest, I like the negative space over here. I do. This is too much. So now, because there's no negative space, the image overall looks a little flat, like there's not enough depth. Because this looks like the mid-ground, and then the background, there's no foreground. So for me, this like fades a little bit into the back. This comes out middle ground, and then this is almost a background, even though it's in the front. I like that part about it. That's interesting. I like that one. Nope. Mm-mm. Because again, like, where does your eye fall? And it's just kind of, it's just, it's blank. So basically, if you were to keep this or an image like this, you would have to create your layers. What's the foreground? What jumps out at me first? What's the middle ground? What's the background? Right? And I guess, you know, the black is the background. Your foreground, middle ground, what is that going to be? What do you want coming out at you first? Because this is nearest to the lens, but it's out of focus. This is in the middle ground, but it's kind of, it's kind of bland. Yeah, I was trying this too, to see what happens if I just took a shot of it against the plain black, and showing the whole flower that I was using. That's where the stem broke right there. So, I like it's all centered better. I would probably, yeah, I think that's why I use more flowers. This is actually okay. This one, no, because this is distracting to me for this. And again, sometimes it works, and then sometimes it's like, no, it's throwing me off. Focus is better because I can clearly see where this is. That green, oh my gosh. It's loud. It's wants to be seen for sure. Man, that, yeah. It just surprises me that the saturation, the green is really saturated. This, the violet purple, is more like a muted, almost pastel as far as saturation. So you go from jumping off the page to low key. It's more low key for this. Huh. Interesting though. Maybe if this was straight up and down, like dead center, maybe this would be the one where a dead center subject where it's just straight up and down would work. Maybe. That's not bad. See, now the light breaking in, it's not throwing me off. There's one more. Okay, so the angle's not right. There's too much negative space down here. And there's too much spotlight. The light reflection in here. So out of those, I mean, this one would be the best, but this one, I don't know. I think, like I said, it's like breaking my own pet peeve straight down the middle, put the three of them together. And see if that works. The other one, I think this one, it's on the boring side, but it's there. It's like, I really like the clarity of the texture here, about as clear as I've seen in my shots so far. So once I got to here, that idea was done. I was on to the next idea. Now, Again, this is the acrylic panel, the 12 by 12 inch. This is probably my desk that's bleeding into the shot, but it's so out of focus that you really can't tell. I kind of like it in the shot. For one, I can't tell what it is. Like, if I don't tell the viewer what it is, I don't think they can recognize what that is. It adds interest. I'm just not sure about my focal point. Because as far as I can tell, it's on this plane right here. So this plane going cutting straight across, everything's pretty much in focus. But then this part in front is out of focus, which I really don't mind. I wonder, did I adjust the focus a little bit? Composition is off. Yeah, see, it kicked to the left too much. So it's cutting this pedal off and it looks weird. Oh man, this is close. Too high, but not by that much. It's top heavy for sure, but a little bit lower. Like this part, maybe here. But again, I was trying to get the reflection. Maybe if I can angle the camera up a little bit more, right, that would make this pedal drop a little bit and I wouldn't lose the reflection here. I thought I would be able to get more color in that, but in the reflection itself, but you just see, you know, the outline of it. That's not bad. That's not bad. I did drop it a little bit. And it looks off. I did on the next shot. That, okay, so in camera, I must have been looking at it, like drop it a little bit. I dropped it a little bit. It looks off. That looks better. Even though it's higher, it's closer to the top of the frame. Like this is too, now it's too low. So I'm going to reverse what I just said. I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to go with this one. That's really nice. I like that. I like the, it's got some style to it. Okay. Okay. What happened with this one? Oh, this is what I was saying earlier. Okay, so when the camera is at a funny angle, not like perfectly landscape or portrait as far as layout, then the camera is going to decide what it wants to do with it. So the layout can be either, but I'm looking at, like, that's too plain. Plain, I mean, it looks normal. It looks normal. Composition's off. Yeah, it's heavy on that side. It's heavy on the right side. It's a little odd, which I don't know if I like this or I don't know. And then this is the how it showed up originally. One of these, either this one or this one, as far as how it should be. Because I think the composition could work there or there. But either way, kind of like not so much this layout, but it feels like you're falling. And again, it feels like the flowers can fall out of the frame, like coming at the viewer. So that's why this one interests me, right? And then we have our spotlight friend reflecting up here. It doesn't bother me in this shot. It doesn't. I think if I take it out, which I can take it out, I think it might make it look boring. I don't know. I can try it both ways, though. This is the end of part 3 of 4. Thank you for tuning in.